Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Thanks to ExpressVPN for supporting FilmSack. Did you know that your internet service provider like Comcast or Verizon knows every single website you visit? Go to expressvpn.com/FilmSack and you can get an extra 3 months for free.
It started 20 years ago. It was the night of the Valentine's Day dance at the Union Hall. The biggest event of the year. It had been a tradition for over 100 years. Everybody was there except for 7 miners who were out at the Hanniger Mine.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, episode 600 and some number. 502. I was 100 episodes off. 502. Not even close. We are mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind continually now for these 11 years. My name is Scott Johnson, and on the show with me today is Brian. He's always fondling my air hose Dunaway.
Ooh, how does that feel?
Oh, hi, guy. This week on FilmSack, we're mining the very depths of Canadian horror entertainment. Sorry, guys. I don't know if I can do an intro this week. I've been pretty bummed ever since I found out they canceled the Valentine's Day dance. I was really looking forward to you guys finally meeting my Canadian girlfriend. She does exist. Anywho, said totally real Canadian girlfriend left me a heart-shaped box of what I can only assume is chocolates and a note that I am now going to read for the first time ever right here on the show. To whom it may concern. Okay. Oh, always a good start. Yeah. You were invited to a Saturday night at you-know-who's house where we'll be celebrating the holy holiday of the horny, a.k.a. Valentine's Day. All FilmSack minors are welcome. That is minors with an E-R, not O-R, so just to be clear, there will be beer. The party will commence at sundown and will include all the moose head you can stomach and all the minors you can kiss. Once again, that's minors with an E-R. It continues. We'll be playing all of your beloved Canadian party games like Twister, Pin the Axe in the Miner, Sorry, the board game, Pranks That End in Death, Uno, and everybody's favorite Canadian game, Bobbing for Wieners. That's jokes! Looking forward to seeing you there. Yours truly, the one-armed man. Okay, turns out that was not for my actual Canadian girlfriend, but this guy seems nice too. So hey, would anybody like a piece of chocolate from my totally not a human heart in a heart-shaped box that I'm not going to even look at before offering you some? No? All right. Now for someone who has been to Canada and lived to sing a ballad about it. Randy?
I was one of your best. That was really
good. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
You kind of had me.
For wieners.
You had me.
Sorry, caught me completely off guard. I don't know why I wasn't expecting it, but it's so
right.
It
was really good.
You had to see it coming.
Did you know I'm about to sing a ballad about Canada?
Oh, man.
Well, it was a no-brainer.
I can't wait to hear that. All right. Next up, Randy, never get in the shower with a bunch of minors, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Randy.
In the middle of the winter, I go walking down the street, way underdressed for the snow and the sleet. I'm living in New Brunswick, February 14th. You'd think I'd have more clothes on than just a light long sleeve in the middle of the winter. I don't understand why everybody goes outside without putting on four layers of clothes. This crazy miner's gonna kill me, but he can't cause it's 20 below and I already froze to death in the middle of the winter.
Wow, that was great. Billy Joel this morning.
Yeah,
I also thought you were kidding. I was like, well, he's not really gonna sing. He's not gonna sing like, you know.
But, yeah.
But he did
that off the cuff.
Yeah, that was great.
That's right.
We're gonna talk about what time of year this movie was filmed.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, jeez. All right. I'm already cold. All right. Finally, Brian, is that a shower head in your mouth, or are you just happy to see me in it?
Yes, it is. I'm not going to sing a ballad either. You asshole kids want to know the real story behind the Valentine's Bluffs killer?
No.
Do you? Well, I'm going to stop serving liquor here for about half an hour so I can tell you. It happened 20 years ago on St. Valentine's night. There was a party in town, a miner's delight with an ER. A couple of foremen forgot seven workers so they could go, and methane exploded, trapping the miners below. You asshole kids. Harry Warden was one of the miners presumed dead. Hold on, let me take this order. You want four bottles of moose head? Okay, back to the story before I was so rudely interrupted. Oh yeah, Harry Warden and the gas that erupted. He ate all his buddies and lost all his wits. He could have used some Tim Hortons coffee and an order of bits. So 20 years later, and Valentine's Day is banned because Harry will start killing if a party is planned. So you kids, heed my warning if you want to stay alive. And if you don't throw any parties, Madam Mabel will survive.
Oh.
I'll drop a few more Canadian references and then the bar top I'll clean. Hockey, 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 Canadian Mountie poutine.
Well done. Very, very well done.
Thank you.
You ended it so strong with poutine. That was great.
Poutine.
I loved it. All right. Well done, everybody. That was an amazing intro.
If you didn't know this movie was Canadian, I didn't.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I had no idea. No, yeah. I had no idea. I saw it. Like, we mentioned this a little bit last week, but my first viewing of this movie was like in 1986 or 7. I was in high school and I saw it on VHS or whatever. And I didn't really, you know, associate with like, oh, what year is this or whatever. But at no time during that viewing did I go, oh, a Canadian production.
Right. Yeah.
Canadian.
And here's the other funny thing is that the, you know, as we learned last week, the thing you remembered most about this movie was a guy picking up a lady and putting her on a hook, on a meat hook.
Yep.
And there's no meat hook, but there is an axe, and we see it in the very, very first scene of the movie. But then we also see him do exactly the same thing with a shower.
Yeah.
Well, we don't see him do it.
Right, exactly.
The aftermath.
Now, that we've got to pause right there because this is important. Right. I Mandela'd the hell out of that whole thing. I mushed the two things together, and there's not even a meat hook. Like, why I thought I saw that, right. I don't know. But here's what's funny. Not funny, but weird. This cut of the movie, at least, and maybe there's another version of it, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
But there is a screenshot I have somewhere that I found yesterday. I'll put it in our shared thing so we can look at it. Of that girl with the shower head through her head and out of her mouth. There's like a head on shot like of that
front,
in that film.
A front view. Cause yeah, we just get the side view in this version that we watched on Amazon.
Right.
So I did a deep dive on versioning of this movie.
Oh, cool. Uh-huh.
I've never seen this movie. I actually thought,
what is this movie?
This is My Bloody Valentine, which I always thought was an Irish band that were kind of like sad. Mm-hmm. And no, it turns out it's also a movie series now. And turns out it's like the slasher film that a lot of other slasher films got inspired by. Like, didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Didn't know that how much impact it had until this viewing. Anyway, they made this movie. They took it to the MPAA because even if you're in Canada in 1981, you got to go to America to get the thing rated. The MPAA is just like, no, you're way too gory. they cut 9 minutes out of the movie.
Yeah.
And then basically 6 of those 9 minutes are just lost. It's just gone.
No, that's not available on any version as far as you know?
Oh, correct. But there's some stills that were retained from those 6 of 9 minutes. Sounds like a fork. So
I'm going to say almost worse because the silhouette of that head spewing water out of its mouth while that guy's looking up at her is almost worse than the head on shot that I found on Google Images or wherever I found it.
And it's, so 15 years later, they come in, add back 3 minutes. They're well preserved. Mm-hmm. And that's the version we saw. We saw the original plus 3 minutes of gore, basically.
Okay.
And so you wouldn't have seen some of the goriest things in this one. Like this one, you got a very, very quick shot of the first girl's getting impaled. It's not in the theatrical release.
Yeah, and you get the disturbing thing is that you see the point of the pickaxe pushing her skin, but not piercing it, like from the back coming forward, and it's just stretching her skin out, which is a very impressive special effect.
There you can just imagine what's missing. There was probably a lot more look at the heart in the hot dog water, and there was. Probably, like, you can just imagine what all that is.
It's my favorite Limp Bizkit album.
I was gonna say Heart in the Hot Dog Water is a great album name for any band.
That would be our show title if we did that, if we made podcasts that way. Another thought is there's a point where poor man's Wilford Brimley discovers the two lovers in the mine and they're impaled from above. You're completely missing any kind of action around how that happened, which is great. Right, it works.
Yeah,
but it's been edited to this, and it probably started out more showing you how they die.
Yeah. I got the feeling that there was some stuff missing there. When the lady came out of the dryer, that was all like burned up and stuff in the beginning. I knew that was longer. It had to be because it was such a brief glimpse.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Like, not just the hook thing in my memory. Almost all of it I don't remember. I thought most of this happened in the mine. A bunch of it does, but a lot of it doesn't. Like, most of it's above ground. Yeah. And I don't remember the sheriff. I don't remember the mayor. I don't remember the boxes with the hearts in it. Like, did I even see this movie? I started to ask myself.
And is it right? Well, you might have seen, did you say you saw it on VHS, though, right?
I did, yeah. Back in, like, 87 or 86 or something, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Maybe saw it later on TV because that sounds like something that would have been, you know, just cut to crap.
Yeah,
even it already cut it.
Well, it was Forbidden Fruit at the time. I remember going to a friend's house and, you know, we watched it sort of where his parents were out of town, and, you know, it was all very sneaky because my parents weren't going to let that happen in our house, that particular film. And it stuck with me because of the hook part, but I think I've just mushed all the. Pick a girl up and shove her into a thing into all movies that do that. And there's a ton of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Chainsaw Massacre.
All the slasher films.
Yeah. All the slasher films. That's a thing you use. In fact, what's that game?
Meat hook is probably the most common.
Right. You pick up. Right. And even in that game, there's a game, very popular game right now called Till or something Till Dawn or whatever it is. It's a horror game, competitive horror game where five of you are running away from the main bad guy. The killer, the slasher, and you're trying to survive. It's very fun. It's a very cool game. It's on Twitch a lot. Anyway, the way that you, as the killer, take the victim, your job is to take them over to a hook-like device and hook them on it. And then somebody else can come rescue them, and they only get like one shot at that. They can only be rescued once. But like even in that, it's like, oh, yeah, a nod to this trope of put somebody on a hook or whatever. And for whatever reason, my brain goes straight to My Bloody Valentine every time, even though one of them's not a hook, and she doesn't even get lifted up. She just gets pushed into it.
Well, it's easy to see how you would confuse that, though, because, I mean,
easily,
he does impale her on the shower, and then the other one was the the axe. So it's just impaling. It's easy to...
It's not even the guy that you see earlier on in the movie picking his girlfriend up by the head a couple times.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I think it's just important to note there's nothing else to this movie. Like, this movie gets away with having practically no plot. And the only real dialogue between characters establishes the backstory, and then that's it. There's a little bit of dialogue to throw you off the scent of who the killer miner is, And, you know, so then it's a surprise when it turns out to be the guy who runs out crying.
Yeah.
But not really. Like, there's really not anything on the script except a lot of kind of scary action. Is this a really scary movie to you?
There are moments. Okay. So, first of all, I never trusted that guy. The guy with the weird red hair that turned out to be the killer.
Like, Axel?
Never. Never once did I go... Yeah, he's normal. He's fine. I always knew something was up.
He's got an underbite like Butthead.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Or Beavis. I can never tell which one's Beavis and which one's
Beavis Butthead. Had the underbite. Beavis.
Beavis okay, had the so underbite. Beavis is what the underbite.
Yeah. Teeny to the teepee for his bunghole. That's the one. Anyway, what was I going to say? Oh, there's a moment in this movie that's not even a killing or a gory shot or anything. It's him walking through the tunnels of the mine while they're way deeper down. And he's just coming in there and he just is methodically smashing lights on his way through.
That was good.
There's something about that, man. Oh, I can't explain that. That really got me. Like even
the completely unnecessary. We hang all of our outfits on hooks and hoist them up into the air.
Yeah.
And they all start dropping on her for whatever reason. That was freaking me out. Like, but probably more like, oh, these things just kind of smell and they're falling all over me. And
there's no way I would be in a room where people hang a bunch of stuff like that. Because, right. I mean, just from the idea of something just accidentally falling from the ceiling would scare the crap out of me.
Big, heavy gear like that. Yeah, you're going to get yourself hurt.
But why wouldn't they have they just have a closet, like a bar with a bunch of hangers. They wouldn't we've rigged up an intricate pulley system with each person's individual pulley for their own.
Yeah, that was weird. And maybe somebody may write in and go, I'm a miner. I've been doing it for 30 years.
We totally know that.
We've got that. We've got a room full of those. And, you know, maybe this thing is real, but it really threw me. But I think part of it was poking your claustrophobia a little bit. Because when those things come down and surround you, it was like Marion in Raiders of the Lost Ark with all the bodies around her. It's like,
I mean, there's so much claustrophobia. I mean, they're in a mine for most of this movie, which is just super claustrophobic. Yeah. Speaking of the mine, let's talk about that first scene, booby girl, making out. So, all right. So the way we're supposed to understand this is that Axel somehow coerces a girl, coaxes to put on a miter's outfit and come down into the mine with him for some hanky panky because she's clearly not a worker.
Yeah.
Yes. And this is like,
girls aren't allowed.
And this is like February the 12th, right? So it's romance season in the Great North. Right.
So he's got to somehow get her past all the other guys.
Right. Yeah. It was like a Saturday night. They only work on weekdays or something. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. It looked like the way they cut it looked like it was during a work day. Like, you know, he impaled her and then they were like, all right, the guys are upstairs getting ready to go up on the, train to get out.
Way. Yeah, you're right. I didn't even think about that.
That was the chick. She was the chick in the bucket because they never addressed what happened to her body.
They never found her body or anything.
They found her heart, but they didn't. You know, there was nothing else.
Yeah.
What are you guys doing with a loose heart? That was my favorite.
And no one seemed to miss her either. It wasn't like there was a thing in the town of like, hey, has anyone seen the town slut? I don't know where she's going. She's usually.
You mean the lady who wears the blue eyeshadow with the really red lipstick? Mm-hmm. Somebody was wearing during the 80s.
Yeah, because at first it was like, why would this person willingly go down there with this killer that is, you know, he's kind of portrayed like Freddy or whatever. He's like, you know, he's got his thing. He's wearing a oxygen hose and all the gear and everything, and that's kind of his look. And I thought, well, you wouldn't just go down there with him. And
she has to have known him, in which case she has to have been a resident of Valentine Bluffs you'd think somebody might have missed her, but maybe not.
Yeah,
maybe not.
Also, what a dumb thing to say is that the town, the fact that they named the town Valentine's Bluff just about made me piss my pants. Like, really? Are you going to be the town of Halloween when freaking...
Yes!
Come on.
I was okay with it.
I wasn't bothered by it at all. Like, we have friends whose last name is Valentine. That's a name.
It is, but what I'm saying is, for your Valentine movie, you're going to go ahead and have a town called Valentine.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was annoying. Yeah.
It wasn't the thing I had the most problem with.
That was on my list of stuff. On my list of laundry list that includes Mabel and a dryer. Pretty far down there.
Mabel and dryer.
By the way, I loved people who There's a scene in this film that is, I don't know if it's a trope or how you exactly label it, but it's the is the sheriff, and he's walking around Mabel's laundry mat. Uh-huh. And you're like, there's a big, you know, the dryer's like full of blood, and just it's the most obvious thing in that room that she's in the dryer.
Yeah.
And he just keeps walking around looking like, what's that smell? Is it my pipe? Right. Why are these hearts upside down? Have you ever left a shoe in the wash machine or the dryer? Have you left a shoe in the dryer?
Oh yeah.
You're definitely going to hear it. You're going to hear.
I don't think it was moving. It wasn't turned on.
It was.
Oh, it was definitely on. It was on ultra slow. Yeah. Like no dryer runs that slow.
Well, the one that had the clothes in it was on, but I don't think the one that had Mabel in it was on.
No, the one with Mabel was in. Don't make me gif it. Okay.
Can we talk about how that was preceded by the funniest thing in the whole movie?
What? I forget, but what
by it? Far the funniest thing in the whole movie. She is in her laundrette, right?
Yeah,
right.
And the killer miner comes in to kill her, and she's backing away, throwing open the door of each dryer as she goes.
Yeah.
Stop. Yeah.
It's so funny. Oh my God. I was dying. I was crying laughing at her throwing open the door. Like, that was going to even slow him down.
Why did they go after her? Okay. I have a question about this. Why did they go after her at all? Because this is well before even the plans were laid for their fake little party.
Oh, because she planned the party.
Yeah, but they canceled
it. Well, she had signs for it on the.
No, well, she actually planned the party. That's what the kids kept saying. Well, the miners. They kept saying, yeah, Mabel had, she was the one who worked on everything on the party. She was the one who planned the party.
Okay.
So she maybe, has to be the first one to die, right?
So yeah, but I thought if they canceled the party, that meant everybody, because he was warning
everybody.
They didn't
cancel the party until after you killed Mabel. Maybe I don't understand what you're asking.
Oh, maybe I've got my timeline wrong, because I thought they canceled
before.
So it's
just the fact that she had those posters. Like, basically, if you're in Valentine Bluffs and there's a party being planned, whether or not you're on the committee, you've blown up a balloon or stuck a... Well, I guess she stuck a bunch of Valentine's shit all over the dryers and washing machines. So that means you're fair game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense then. The way you guys have described it to me, I think I had it backwards. I think I had it in my head that he's sending these warning notes, like, here's this heart. Uh-huh. Which, by the way, that's another killing before there's a party. I don't know. He seemed indiscriminate.
It's the fact that there's a party being planned is the reason for the killing.
Okay.
And it's actually not even that, because, you know, this isn't even the original murderer, we find out. It's Axel, right?
That's true,
So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so what's Axel's grudge against me?
That was so, I don't know, but it was so stupid when they did the flashback of him watching. I was like, come on.
Oh, watching his dad get.
Yeah, watching his dad die. I was like. That should have been the all moment, but instead it was just like, oh, come on.
So the movie actually takes some length to explain how this party could happen, right?
Yeah.
And it's basically the police chief covers up what's actually going on. He doesn't tell people how bad it is.
Yeah,
right?
Why is that, do you think? What do you think the motivation there is? Because it seemed like he's like supposed to be this good town cop sheriff guy who's always looking out for the best for everybody or whatever, and it's supposed to be portrayed as sort of heroic, but as the movie went on, I just went, well, dude, you're terrible at this. Like, you're just shitty at this. You're just like, I got a hunch, I'm gonna go do a thing. No, tell people what you're doing. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be a big secret of what's going on. I don't know, that kind of annoyed me, but what are you gonna do?
He could have just said why did he say heart attack? He should have just said heart failure, because that would have been true. Mabel did have heart failure when it came out of her body.
I have a confirmation on the dryer, by the way.
Okay.
I'm sorry, it's playing in the background here and silently, and it is not moving. Brian Ibbett.
Oh, interesting. So Ibbett was right.
Ibbett was right. Not moving.
See?
What may have thrown you was that he was walking around it. His reflection kept showing up in the little round mirror of the washer, and it made it look like maybe. Yeah.
Because, you would absolutely hear...
Well, that's what I kept thinking. You would definitely hear ka-clump, ka-clump.
Oh, more than that. I think Ibbett's impression is dead on. You would hear like, it would like lift up and then go shaboom and then kaboom.
Exactly.
So what was the Eddie Murphy animated shark movie?
Oh,
Shark Tale, or was that a different one?
No, that was Will Smith.
Yeah. Eddie Murphy shark movie?
Was it Will Smith? And I was thinking Eddie Murphy. I don't know. All
two
I
different
know,
generations.
All I right. know is a laundromat that has a significant number of machines is a loud place to be.
Yeah.
And right.
Whenever I think of being in a laundromat, I think of being in a laundromat in Kona, Hawaii on the Big Island, where they were playing this shark movie on a TV while everybody sat around and waited for their laundry. And that movie was turned up to volume 10.
So that you could hear it over the machines.
Yeah. It's like, it's just in my head forever. That is my image of a laundromat, is that animated shark movie turned up to 10.
Yeah. That's a fun memory you got there. That I like that.
Yeah.
Directed, by the way, by a dude named George Mihalka.
Mihalka.
You don't know him from much. He did that, of course, and then a bunch of TV stuff. Do you guys remember the show? Let's see, where is it? They did a Transporter, the series, a while back, 2013 or
no.
so. He directed an episode of that. He did a bunch of movies you never heard of, a lot of Canadian shit. It's the second thing he ever did. So, you know, this is early in his career. But it's funny, this guy is very, like you, somebody at the top of the show said it, but he's very influential in slasher circles. And Quentin Tarantino is on the record as saying this is his favorite slasher film of all time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he
oh, wow.
This thing.
But so, there's no feet in this.
Yeah, there are no feet.
There are no feet.
That's what I thought.
Are you kidding? Yes, there are. Yes, there absolutely
Whoa,
are.
Tell me more. Tell me more. Like, what about the feet? I don't remember the feet.
Like, again, by far my biggest topic about this movie is how everyone is underdressed for February in New Brunswick. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have these people in a mine where what must be frozen water is everywhere falling on them. And they're climbing up a ladder wearing heels.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, no. These women, no woman in Canada would be wearing those shoes on February 14th, much less in New Brunswick in a mine.
Also, if they said, look, we're going to go down in this mine, my first thought would be, cool, let me grab my sneakers. Like, I'm not going down there in my freaking fancy heels. Not a chance. Mm-hmm. Not a chance.
Fancy heels.
I wouldn't have gone down there in the first place, but I don't like mines. I don't like, you know, like the caves with the stalactites and mites and stuff and all that. And people are like, ooh, I want to go on a cave tour. No, that's where the Chud live. Don't want to go in there.
Yeah, that's where the Chud live.
Yeah. You don't want to be in there. Why do you want to be in there? Get out of
there. There are some cool, like Colorado, like places you can go. Cave of the Winds down south is a little bit more like, we've put up a whole bunch of cool lights all around these stalactites and stalagmites, but there's a much better one outside of Glenwood Springs. That just has, they brought in lights, but they haven't put like floodlights behind every stalactite. Like basically it's, you're seeing it a lot more like how it was discovered as opposed to dressed up and Christmasified.
Gotcha.
And that's a really cool place to go.
Everyone south of here is like that, I guess.
Can't overstate how impressive Carlsbad Caverns is in New Mexico. Mm. At the same time, if you have anything like claustrophobia, do not go there.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. If you've got any feeling of like, if you're going to be in there going, I'm 300 feet below the surface and this is closing, and like you're gonna freak out. Like, it's bad. This thing was apparently shot 900 feet underground whenever they did the minor shots, which is pretty intense for a movie. They said some of the lighting devices couldn't be used in the mines because they had like high methane explosion potential. So, like, there's methane in the mines, and if one of those lights, like a halogen light, set off a methane pop, then this entire crew is dead. That's dangerous. I don't think you do that today. I think you just fake this cave. You just make one.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of appreciate the, what's the word, the authenticity of it. Yeah.
I'd like to believe in all the cave scenes in The Last Rambo that Stallone dug those caves himself.
Yeah,
the actor actually dug those caves.
Yeah, guy that played Howard was in First Blood, so there's a little connection there for you without knowing it. Nice job. Scrutiny. I have some early scrutiny here for this. Some of this trivia here, and I'm going to play that.
Scrutiny.
So, according to makeup effects artist Thomas R. Burnham, who worked on this thing, one of his gory creations was so realistic that director George McCocker, or whatever his name, threw up at the sight of it.
Wow.
I don't know if I believe it. I don't believe it.
No.
Yeah.
And you know why? Because the puking at the sight of something primarily comes from smelling it, not from seeing it.
Right. But also, even if you see something really horrifying, whatever. All we have, I'm trying to think, have I ever done anything where, any time in my life, have I ever seen a thing and just immediately barfed because I saw it? No. Like when
maybe
I saw
Mahalka, maybe Mahalka was fully drunk. Maybe like he was falling down drunk and this guy is like, hey, come check this out, this prosthetic.
Maybe they didn't tell us the whole story. Maybe he walked up and said, hey, look at this severed head. And while he showed him the head, he reached two fingers down that guy's throat and made him barf.
Made him puke. Yeah.
Maybe that's what happened.
Did you mention that he's Hungarian, by the way? I didn't catch that.
No, is he? I didn't know that.
This George Mihalka. Yeah, which is weird because it doesn't sound like a Hungarian name, Mihalka.
Yeah. Brian has Hungarian roots, so you
I got Hungarian in me.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is he, do we know him from any Hungarian work? It looks like it's all just.
No. Okay. No, I looked and doesn't look like he's even done any, didn't see anything in there that looked Hungarian by name.
I think he did it. Oh, this is it's a drama. I thought it was, there's a drama, a Canadian drama in 2011 called Faith, Fraud, and the Minimum Wage. And for some reason, that's really familiar to me, and I cannot put my finger on why. No one in it I know. I don't know anything about it. Why is that familiar?
I don't know, but there's something called Scandale, which sounds like a CW program that's trying to capitalize on Scandal at Riverdale.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of Canada television that's like that. Like, yeah. It's not a knockoff, and it's not like... It's more just like an imitation of something that's already popular on the CW specifically.
Isn't it an old joke that everybody who makes film or does anything in Canada in the TV or film business, they all at some point direct Degrassi Junior High episodes? And I can't find
direct
it for him.
Or he's Piron not, or...
Yeah, they all do though. Like you look at all of their credits and it's like, oh, he directed four episodes of Degrassi Junior High in the 80s or the newer one in the 90s or whatever. But this guy hasn't. He was... He's been busy, though. Worked all the way up till 2015. Made something called Black Christmas Legacy. And then...
Yeah, it must be part of the Black Christmas series, is my guess.
Oh, was there a... I didn't know there was a series.
A series of movies, remakes and reboots and stuff like that. But I thought we watched one of the Black Christmases here.
Oh, interesting. So... The movie that we're talking about here is a documentary. It says an examination of the effects and lasting impact of the cult classic horror film Black Christmas, featuring interviews with cast, crew, and industry experts. And it was directed by him and some other dude.
Yeah, it's the one where the guy runs up and kills a guy dressed up as Santa Claus. Unless I'm thinking of something different, I thought I could have sworn we watched this.
Quick sec.
Scott Johnson, sometimes you swallow a syllable when you say cult classic.
What I say?
And it sounds like you just said Coke classic. And I was just like, I was ready to talk about Coca-Cola classic.
I mean, I'm always ready to talk about that. I'm checking quicksack.ly and I have no Black Christmas.
Really? Yeah. Don't we watch that?
I don't know why.
1980, we definitely watched
before Black Christmas.
We watched Christmas something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see it.
It was the kid who.
Thinking of the one where he watched his mom and Santa Claus do it in the living room.
Yes.
That's last year.
Last Christmas we watched. Santa, I thought it was Black Christmas.
Killer Santa.
Santa from Outer Space.
Was it called Christmas Eve?
No.
Oh, Christmas Evil.
Christmas Evil,
because we did the whole evil stuff. That's right. We did Christmas Evil and
thank
Year's
you.
Evil.
Okay.
That's right.
Something I just noticed.
How have we not watched Black Christmas? Because it's got Margot Kidder and Olivia Hussey.
Oh,
I'm putting it on our list. It's going to be about 10 months. Give me 10 months.
Sounds good.
I just noticed quicksack.ly has been updated to have playable audio embeds in it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's cool. That's very cool. All right. Well done.
That's cool.
Bomb. Who's it again? I forget his name.
Bombats.
Bombats. That's who it is. You should put his name on there so I can remember to say it every time I see it. Anyway.
Bombats.
What else we got here in trivia? Oh, here's one for you. The captain near the beginning says Thursday, February 12th, indicating the dance will be on the Saturday, the 14th. That means Friday, the 13th falls between them.
Oh,
right. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Interesting. Friday, the 13th.
Do they have a whole Friday, the 13th thing in Canada, or is that just a U.S. thing?
Oh no, that's a many places in the world thing.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. That's a big one everywhere, right?
Like not everywhere.
Because I know, like, you know, there are other numbers that freak Asian people out, right? Asian superstitious people are freaked out by the number four.
I think you narrowed that down so that Asian superstitious people. Okay.
Well, I was about to say Asian-Americans, but that wouldn't apply because
I'm fascinated about the cultural overlap between Canada and the United States, and I don't want to get into it too much because there's been whole books written about it. But sure. Where on the fringes, there are just some fascinating little things, like you know, like just a lot of Canadian culture gets imported to the United States and Americans aren't told that it's Canadian. Like that's just the history of that overlap. Like I didn't know Rush wasn't an American rock band for most of my childhood. Right. Wow. Like I just thought of Rush and I did. It's because I didn't make a distinction. I just never thought about some of these people are from Canada, right? Yeah, Sebastian Bach, the lead singer of Skid Row, is from Canada, but Skid Row, they are so American to me, right? And I just never make that distinction.
Well, the only reason I know that at all is because he shows up on the Trailer Park Boys all the time. And it's the only reason I know that he's even Canadian. Otherwise, if you said Skid Row, I'd have said, oh, they're probably an L.A. band, my guess. They're probably all from L.A., you know?
They're actually mostly from New Jersey, I think.
See, I've got it all wrong with those guys. It's probably because there's a Skid Row in L.A., the actual location where all the homeless folks hang out. And I'm just
And there's also one in Vancouver. But my point is, that Canada as a country didn't really start trying hard to make a distinction until more recently. Yeah. And so like a movie like this, it's totally understandable why you would see it as a younger person in the 80s and not really think, oh, New Brunswick. Now that's north of Maine. You know, like you just wouldn't have any of that.
We didn't do that stuff. Like our first how many of us really knew anything about Australia other than Paul Hogan growing up? Like we just didn't know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
It's so that's weird to me to think how not that we were not the word isn't sheltered. I don't know what we were, but we just didn't have this thing that I think
we're very
people
inward looking young people in America.
Yeah. But I also think it's generational. I don't think my kids didn't grow up going Australia. What's that? Like they already kind of knew.
I don't think I did either. It's a weird thing to say. Australia. What's that?
And I'm just, beer? I mean, I knew it was a country, but you know, my whole experience with it was, oh, they all sound like Paul Hogan. They all carry a big knife and it's all kangaroos. And
I think we had Olivia Newton-John too, like in her Grease days, we were all like, oh, that's Australia. Okay.
Yeah. But we just had, you know, we just had this like limited less. And Canada felt the same way to me. I just knew there was a place called Canada. I didn't culturally know what was happening from there, but little did I know there was so much that was bleeding down. Like Paul Schaefer was Canadian, and freaking all these SNL people are Canadian, and
right,
SCTV
all the SCTV stuff. Right, I watched so much of that stuff as a kid.
Right,
never really connecting the fact that they're all Canadian.
Yeah, Eugene Levy and John Candy.
I always thought the SC stood for Second City, and every American knows that's Chicago. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right,
but it is still it is still Second City, right? Isn't that the SC or no? Isn't that
that's one of the comedy troops.
Well, I know that, and I've seen Second City.
Not in the SCTV that we're familiar with, but yeah, Second City is Chicago, and there is an SC, a Second City comedy in Chicago.
Oh, see, here it is. Second City Television, commonly shortened SCTV, later known as SCTV Network, Canadian television sketch comedy show that ran between 76 and 84. I think that Second City thing is here it is. Toronto Second City Troop. It just happens to be their offshoot.
So what would be the first city?
New York City.
New York City.
Well, no, they're in Canada.
But they're saying they're the
second. They're just saying that they're second.
They're
to,
like a satellite office.
Gotcha. Okay. You can't have that many second cities.
You can have, I think the idea is that you could have Denver, a Second City Troop in Denver, and they just still call it Second City. That's the brand.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Looks like if you go to secondcity.com, your choices are Chicago, Toronto, or Hollywood.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah.
There you go. I don't want that one. That one's
all right.
I don't
want
that one. That's like fourth or fifth city.
Yeah, that's like fifth city. Nobody wants fifth city. Anyway, but But yeah, like it's just a weird effect. And hearing it now, watching it now with my 2021 ears, I can hear the accents. I recognize the town signs. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, look how this is Canadian as shit. But then I found out Porky's was also a Canadian production. That doesn't feel right to me.
No, that totally doesn't.
Seriously, no, but it explains a lot.
We could do 10 hours on I found out this and that was right. Canadian. Like, yeah. Seriously.
Yeah, it's crazy. I love our neighbors to the north. They're amazing. All right. Movie says it has 12 total body count. Okay, 12 people died. I don't think that's correct. So I'm going to name off who died, and you guys tell me who I'm missing. All right, because I've got a list here that is not.
I bet there are six that you're not thinking of.
Okay. Wow. Lady in the Laundry, which is a whole spinoff.
Lady in the Laundry. Should be.
It's a Pearl Jam song.
Right.
Lady in the Laundry. Rode around in the dryer.
There you go. Hot dog water guy. All right. We got him. Yeah. Old bartender guy.
Okay.
After he went and made his fake killer, and then why did he get curious
about it?
Why did he get curious the third time? Was he just getting such a jolt out of laughing at himself?
Yeah, it was just so much fun. It's like, I'd like to scare myself. Ooh.
Okay. Ooh. He sucked. Shower girl. So the head shower head girl. Mm-hmm.
The shower head head.
Right. The couple in the mine doing it.
Yeah. Well, just the the couple. Taylor,
yeah. And what was in their through their bodies?
It was a drill bit.
Okay. Jeez, all right.
That's
and I said the same thing to Tina when we saw that. I said, those two are screwed.
That's a very common slasher trope too. A couple laying horizontally and something goes through them both. That's a fun one.
It's efficient if you're a slasher too. You can two birds, one stone.
Yeah.
One drill bit.
Yeah, it's a twofer. Right. You like to get those. And then you got the couple doing, I mentioned them. Then you got Hollis. Your poor man's
mustachio dude.
Yeah,
him. Yeah, poor man's Wilford Brimley. Yeah. We have to call him.
Poor man's young Wilford Brimley. And then you got Howard, who apparently was, I didn't understand that his head was ripped off.
Yeah, he was hung and then it ripped off as he fell.
And then his body fell.
The thing, I think.
Yeah. So but fast. that body hitting the ground, pretty freaking good, dude. That looked real good.
Mm-hmm.
Like in a
that head way. Didn't, though. Did you check my little screenshot I put in the chat room? Holy Moses, that's
nice,
bad.
Nice geometric cuts there to the neck. Nice.
Right.
Yeah. Scott, did you check off heart tattoo at the beginning?
Yeah, you got to check off heart tattoo.
Oh, I didn't think of her.
And you got to check off bartender guy who sets up the elaborate.
Wait.
Red on air light.
I just talked about that guy, the old bartender.
Did you mention that guy?
His name is Happy, by the way.
Oh, was it
Happy the bartender?
Yeah, Happy the bartender.
Not, is it? He didn't seem very happy.
Yeah, well, says IMDb. Yeah.
All right, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I have 9.
Okay.
Who am I missing?
The six miners that Howard eats.
Is that part of the body count?
That's interesting.
Their bodies.
Well, then that's more than 12.
That puts us way over, yeah.
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 I think it's supposed to be people killed in the film when they say a body count. I don't think you count, like, previous deaths.
They show the one guy they ate, but, you know.
Well, that's true, but he didn't eat. But that was a flashback to another. Well, I guess it still happens on film, though.
I have a question. Why was the guy in the refrigerator so, like, covered in, I don't know, ice cream, or I don't know what it was.
That was on that guy. Right. That's wiener juice when it freezes. That's
right, frozen wiener juice.
Yeah.
I thought it was supposed to be burns, right? Because he was boiling his face in the water, but it didn't look very good. It looked pretty bad.
Yeah.
But I had laughed. I wasn't supposed to laugh there, and I laughed, dude.
Right.
When he got his face jammed in the hot dog water, and hot dog water is a funny joke around this house because. My daughter's husband, Dylan, is all you have to do is say hot dog water and he gags. He just hates it. So whenever I say, hey, Dylan, you want a nice warm glass of hot dog water tonight on Christmas Eve or whatever? He'll just go, oh, he just kind of get all gaggy. So when he did that, I immediately gift that and sent it to him and said, hey, look at this hot dog water. Mmm. Yeah, that was my
Patty die.
Who?
Patty in the red dress looked like Phoebe Cates.
No, she died, but she took an axe to the gut.
To the stomach,
because,
right?
Yeah, because
Patty.
Yeah.
Gosh dang it. How do I
gotta count Patty?
All right,
gotta so count the patty. One, patty two, cake, three, patty four, cake.
Five, six, seven, axe eight, to the nine, gut. Ten.
That's it's funny because there were times where her chin would just completely disappear, like when she was reacting to something. Yeah, let's see here.
She turned into a turtle. By the way, I put in the Discord channel someone who has written a huge some fandom. They got a big old wiki for this, and it's the kill count from this film, and it lists 12.
Oh.
And number two is four minors, so they counted them as
one
as death
one
count.
Body, a body of minors.
Yeah, because they mentioned it, right.
What do you call four minors? A body of minors. A
body.
Okay, no, that's fine then. If that's what they're doing, that's how you get your 12.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you count them as either four minors or zero minors since it happens?
Well, you only see one minor's arm, right?
You see his arm, yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Oh, the dad getting killed.
The dad? Which dad?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, his dad. Axel's dad. Yeah,
Axel's dad getting killed in the flashback.
Right. Okay.
I forgot probably about puts that. Us at 12, right?
Yeah, that's now we're at 12. Okay, well done, everybody. Well done. We did this
together. They list Dave who got killed, head boiled alongside some wieners. That's how his death is listed.
Head boiled alongside some wieners.
I have to say, though, they used like an actual cow heart that they cooked. So if you boiled a cow heart, yeah, that's the color it would be. That's weird.
Yeah, like probably if you boiled a human heart.
Boiled meat will look like that.
That's a good point to say, spot to stop and say, I kind of hope that people who are listening to this episode of our podcast watch this movie.
Yeah,
like it's just I was thinking about how you guys went into great detail on TMS about In and of Itself, and how, so you know, there's going to be people who listen to that and they're going, okay, I'm good, I've heard about it, I feel like I was part of the discussion.
Yeah,
but like, you just can't, like, there's a heart in a big pan of water with hot dogs. Like, you need to see that. I'm sorry. I know it's a weird thing to suggest, but you need to see it.
Do see it, but also understand that that's a moment of, like, there's a real disconnect there, because my head was, oh, they are those jokesters. They put a animal heart in here with the wieners. Right. But no one said, ah, shit, I was looking forward to those hot dogs. Or are they just going to eat them
those,
now?
Those wieners are totally going to the dump, by the way.
Yeah.
If someone puts any type of heart, I don't care what animal it is. Of course, what am I talking about? They're probably all hearts. The wieners are probably made out of all
that's
hearts.
That's right. Yeah, it's elbows and assholes, isn't it?
Right.
Elbows, assholes, and heart, right? And a little bit of heart meat in there. Exactly. Yeah.
It is weird, right, that this particular killer goes to such effort. Right. Yeah. Like, think about how much effort you got to put in every time you kill somebody to get their heart out of their chest.
Yeah,
that's work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't just open them up and go boop and pop it out. Things, you know,
is Kalima. Whatever.
Chuck D. Day. Yeah. They make that seem too easy in Temple of Doom. But if you're going to do that, you got to be somewhat surgical, even if you're messy about it. And he was quick with that stuff. Also, I don't understand how you didn't know in the car. You're in the car and you got this heart box and there's a big lumpy heart in there.
Yeah.
It's taller than, I just don't know how you're that stupid. That mare is stupid. Mm-hmm. Just a dumb as a rock.
Yeah. Like, guys, he doesn't pull off that little piece of not quite packing material, but slight protection for the chocolates. Yeah, he doesn't pull that off before he offers somebody who's driving a chocolate.
Yeah,
so while they're driving, they've got to flip that piece up and get a piece of chocolate out.
Inconsiderate.
I had a question about the mine. So this is not about the movie. It's about mining in general. Maybe someone can write in about this, or if you guys have any experience in mining, maybe you know. Where do miners poo? If they have to poo or pee, what are they? I assume they just go into a corner somewhere and say, here's where I'm peeing. But
yeah.
If you got to take a dump and you're 900 to 1,000 feet down, what do you think? Because you know
that's
they
a
do.
Good question. Do pants?
They sit on a bucket. Seriously.
So they bring a bucket down there, some kind of bucket.
There's all better kinds of things bucket. That you can. Yes, that's yes.
Okay.
Grab a bucket.
Okay, so we're gonna.
That's it. That's what I was thinking.
We're gonna call that that's our chick in the bucket. Not really, because the movie doesn't deal with it. But I always think of that stuff with certain jobs and occupations, like people that work on high rises, way up high. You know.
Yeah.
Hundreds.
Can't just pop out of the mine.
Yeah. What are you gonna do? Oh, I gotta take a shit. I'll see you guys in 3 hours? Because that's how long it takes me to go anywhere. Yeah.
Unless you're riding in the worst tunnel of love ever.
Oh, I'll just poop down the shaft. Don't worry about me.
There's nobody down there.
Nobody down there.
Hey, we're working down here.
Do you guys notice the local bar had porn on everything? Like the walls just covered.
Yeah. I pointed that out to Tina and she's like, what? And I had to go back and show her. Like, there's a nudie picture behind the guy who's talking.
Yeah. There's naked ladies all over the walls.
That was about the only way you could get nudity in a film in the 80s, right? Without getting an X.
I don't know. You got whatever, man. They had boobs in PG movies back then. I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah, this movie is kind of like, you can really see what the filmmakers care about and don't care about.
Yeah. Well, they cared about putting porn all over that guy's wall, so that was something.
Yeah,
that's right. You but asshole.
You mean the harbinger of doom? He was truly the harbinger of doom.
Here's some more porn, you assholes. Like he was just right. He was just a porn-loving, grumpy, storytelling old fart and got what
love
he deserved.
He was, to me, he was one of my favorite things. Even with him doing the stupid prank and kept opening the door, that still just made me laugh.
It was really funny. Like, all right, let's see. Is it going to work a second time? Right. Ah, it works a second time. Then he starts walking away and he gets this weird look on his face like, wait a minute, that moved differently. Yeah. Like, okay, then friggin' run.
One more time.
Yeah. That was weird.
Stupid happy.
How did Hollis die again? Because I don't think I really saw how he died. It was like a
nailed in the forehead.
Oh yeah,
it
yeah.
Was
Hollis.
So
yeah.
Dark. I guess I missed how that worked in the dark. I couldn't.
They were shooting pretty close up too, and it was kind of hard to tell that that's what was supposed to be going on. But
there's a photo right there in our Discord.
Oh man.
Although the Mabel's photo right above it is great.
Oh yeah, there it is. Pew, pew. Wait.
I love Mabel's look.
Mabel's look is great.
Oh.
Someone got me chocolate. Who's the girl making the that's
Chinless Patty.
In the gut.
Chinless Patty. That's chinless terrible. Patty.
She looks like a Muppet.
From that face she's making, she, if it were not for one little wrinkle, she would have no chin.
Yeah.
But then you see other photos of her in that movie and she's like got a very pronounced chin. It's weird.
Yeah, she is weird. It's a Muppet. There's a hand in there. She looks like somebody I'd draw. That's what's funny about her.
Sure. Let's talk about all the moose head in this movie. What's up with all the moose head?
So much moose head.
Are there a lot of moose heads?
My intro is going to be sponsored by moose head.
Oh, you mean the beer? Yeah. The beer, yeah. I thought you meant moose heads. I'm going to get it at first.
Like big neon sign behind the bartender. Everybody's ordering moose head. Then there's a box for some reason in the laundromat.
Yeah.
So what?
You can see it next to Mabel in that photo too.
Yeah,
felt like they went to their local beer distributor and said, "We're making a movie. You want to give us all the beer we can drink and some neon signs? We'll hang it in the movie."
Did they? Is Moosehead a Canadian brand?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. There it is. There's they're right next to Mabel. She got a whole box of it.
Right next to Mabel, she's making that face. Like, I guess she keeps all of her Valentine's decorations in a Moosehead box.
Yeah. She's dead, by the way, that lady. I looked She's her dead. Up. Yeah.
Oh,
there's a lot of dead people.
The actress is. Okay.
Yeah, the actress is dead.
Right.
Yeah. I do that sometimes. It's a weird thing with me. I like to find out who's dead. And the sheriff's dead. She's dead.
How about the virgin waitress, Harriet?
Harriet is she in here?
They have a big long song they've written about the virgin.
Yeah, poor virgin Harriet.
Terry Waterland.
No one's popped her chariot. I love that. It's a
great rhyme. One of the best rhymes I've ever heard.
So she's been in two things.
Really is,
She's been in this, and she was in Bloodlust, My Bloody Valentine, and the Rise of the Slasher Film documentary. And those are the only two things she's done. So she's still.
That's a pretty decent. Yeah, that's a pretty decent rhymes in this film. Except for the one where he talks about something happening once, twice, and then he says thrice. No one's ever
thrice. Yes.
No one's ever rhymed thrice.
That was on the card that was shoved into Mabel's body.
Yeah.
Cavity. Yet it comes out pretty darn clean.
Yep. Looked all right. Pretty legible there in the old morgue. That guy walking around, though, with the pan with the heart in it. What did he say?
What'd you do with the rest of the body?
How'd you guys get a loose heart?
Yeah, that's a
weird. What are you guys doing with a loose heart?
Yeah,
those Centerville the coroners.
I was convinced that had to be the director. That's a role that the director always takes, right?
They always do. They're always like a coroner. Why is that?
Right.
Is there a thing with that? We could find a thing with that. Somebody's got some kind of tropey thing where they describe this, but directors will play a doctor or a coroner, and right. It's usually a small role, like, oh, he died of sepsis, ma'am, or whatever. And that's your right. whole entire thing, and it's always
the director. It feels like it's an M. Night Shyamalan is a typical one to do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
They like to be a man on the street. They like to be like
ones are men on the street, right? Just a guy walking a poodle.
Yeah. Right. Or like they're getting interviewed by a local news reporter.
Right.
Right.
Right. Because then they don't have to do much acting. They just have to sort of wing it. I like that though for some reason. I like hunting down those sorts of Easter eggs in movies. Mm-hmm. That's part of why they do it, right? I mean, there's no other reason for you to cameo in your movie except, you know, you want people to know that you did this thing. I don't know. I don't know why people do that. Now I think about it.
I was a doctor.
Why do they
put Easter egg?
I am looking at George, the director, and it looks a lot like the doctor did.
Oh, really? So it could have been.
Oh,
I think it's the doctor. I'm not saying it absolutely is. I'm just saying he looks a lot like him.
He doesn't have a photo in IMDb.
No, I had to Google search him.
Oh, yeah, good. Okay. Well, maybe it is.
Maybe he's, is he listed as actor uncredited or something in the cast?
I looked for that, but I didn't see it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. If you put a mustache on him,
yeah,
that might be him. All right. My money's on that.
If your name was Gina Dick.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be for long.
What if it's pronounced China?
China Dick.
Yeah.
Yeah, even worse.
I hope so.
Oh, man. Hi, I'm Gina Dick. I'm here to play the... Wow, that's fantastic. All right. Anyone else have anything else to say about this movie?
is that dog still alive? The dog that runs after, nearly gets hit by cars and it's running after if there's a siren?
Oh,
but forget that. This movie has the best movie dogs we've seen in a long time.
The dogs eating the heart on the ground?
Yeah, there's some dogs. And they're eating a heart out of a Valentine's Day chocolate box.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And a police chief comes outside and one of these dogs is trained to attack him.
Yeah.
And he just stands there so stoic and stone. Is he a robot? This dog is attacking him. And he's just looking at it like, okay, go away.
Mm-hmm. And that's a single take thing, right? That's not like, all right, let's do this again. Because if there was a second take, that guy would say, no, I want that dog off the set.
Yeah.
Or they got five takes and this was the one. Like every other one, the dogs were totally like not exciting enough.
Yeah.
Right.
And this was the one.
This movie's 40 years old. The reason I point that out is the sheriff was right, like in his early 40s and died at 80 something. Just to give you a little bit of context on how quick that went.
Perspective. Yeah.
Good Lord.
Chief Newbie.
Why was it? I'm curious. There's a thing that happens in movies a lot that I'm curious if it happens in real life.
Okay.
Like if they're the cop and the mayor were driving down the road and they discovered that they had the heart in the box and they like immediately slam on the brakes, turn on the siren and flip around. I'm like, where are you going?
We're in a hurry to get back to the station.
Right.
You
gotta turn the siren on, gotta, you know, turn around. I'm like, what's going on right now?
Yeah.
Why?
It's a very good point. Yeah.
But did they do that? Is that no?
Yeah.
Also, you know what? I would know if there was a human heart in my chocolate box before I opened it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would feel weird.
Chocolate boxes are light.
Yep.
Especially after I get through with them.
having him open that one that's got actual chocolate in it, or what looked like little cat turds, but whatever, when he opened that.
Oh, that was the worst box of chocolates ever.
It looked really sad. But the way he opened it so slowly.
Sampler.
He was so careful. He was like, oh, I got to be careful in case it's a heart. I'm like, dude, you know ahead of time.
Right. Oh, I hate caramel.
They really don't care about any fingerprints or anything either. Like, I'm just going to pull all these hearts down that the killer obviously hung upside down in the laundromat.
Yeah.
And I'm going to open this box that might have a human heart in it, but if I get my own fingerprints on it, no big deal.
Do you think it was back then? It was all Russian roulette chocolate, right? Nowadays we have like a little chart that says what you're eating. So if you know there's a shitty coconut thing in there you don't want, you can avoid it. But back in the day, you didn't know. They were all just lumpy chocolate holes and you just like, okay, well,
lumpy chocolate holes.
It's like, I'll eat
those
this
are
one.
My favorite.
And then you eat it, and then you find out it was caramel, whatever, or something terrible, and you want to spit it out like that. There's something I miss about.
What's your least favorite? I gotta say that there's like this pink cream.
Yes.
Oh, I like
yes.
this.
Oh, I do can't not stand like. Those. I don't like what any of the. I don't like any of the cream ones, like the chocolate cream, the vanilla cream, or the pink cream.
Right.
Nope.
Pink cream. What is the pink cream
supposed to be? What is it supposed to be, Randy?
It's cherry.
Strawberry.
Right? Oh, strawberry.
See? See? You can't even decide.
It doesn't matter.
Cherry. Obviously.
In a candy, like the difference between cherry and strawberry isn't enough to really care. Yeah. But like, I definitely have, I have strong feelings. Like, if I pick up a nice chocolate cordial and the inside is filled with grimy, gritty coconut, I'm so mad.
Yeah. Ugh. Yes. Oh, my gosh. I'm with you 100%. I can't do coconut candy of any kind. I can't stand it. But so that's what I mean. Like today, we are, you know, we're blessed with a big old piece of paper in there that says, the ones with the funny looking deal on the top is a deal, is one of these. And
avoid this one at all costs. Right. Like, put a little, yeah.
But the back in the days, they had to do it like those Harry Potter beans where one of them tastes like puke and you didn't know it till you got it. Mm-hmm. Oh, the 70s. What a great time to be alive. Hey, you guys. Did you know that your internet provider, whoever it is, Comcast, Verizon, whatever, they know every single website you visit. And here's what's worse. They sell that information to ad companies and tech giants who will use you as a target for all sorts of stuff to be advertised to or whatever. It's your data and you're the target. Well, ExpressVPN puts a stop to this. It creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so that your online activity can be seen by just you and no one else. All right? I use ExpressVPN on my devices. It works on everything. Phones, laptops, routers, even people who come use your Wi-Fi in your apartment or your house or whatever. They'll be protected because they're using ExpressVPN without even having to have it. Here's the best part. Using ExpressVPN is as easy as closing the bathroom door. You just fire up the app, click one button, and you're protected. It's also the world's number one rated VPN by CNET, Wired, The Verge, and countless others. I really like ExpressVPN for its simplicity and its ease of use. I think you might like that as well. So if you're like me, you believe your online activity is your business, secure yourself by visiting expressvpn.com/filmsack today. Use my exclusive link, expressvpn, expressvpn.com/filmsack, and get extra 3 months for free. That's expressvpn.com/filmsack. Do it today. All right. I have clips from this movie if you guys want to hear them.
Please. Yes.
Oh, yes, please.
I do. So let's do it. Let's see here. We got this thing's missing. Why? Okay, there we go. All right. So we're going to start with this. This is yelling in the shower, which you do with your friends, right? You yell in the shower. So here we go. Mm-hmm. Oh, apparently, according to the trivia, these guys are all naked in that shower. They just
like playing grab ass with each other, too.
They are so playing grab ass.
Yeah. They said they filmed it all naked, but then didn't shoot anything below the waist, but I'm like, well, then why'd you do it naked? What are you doing?
Authenticity.
That was for authenticity. All right, here you go. This is them yelling.
It's gonna be a hot time on Saturday night. Yeehaw!
Now that's him, right? The turned out to be the killer guy.
Yelling Alex, a lot.
Wasn't it him?
Axel.
What'd I say?
Asshole.
That's kidding. Right. Asshole.
You didn't
that's
say
right,
asshole.
He said ass. But I like asshole. I think asshole is better. Yeah.
Yeah. No kidding. Did you for a minute think that they were trying to lead us a little bit into thinking that the bartender guy was the killer?
I thought so too. Because I thought, oh, he's the only one that they've told there was an earshot of them saying that they're going to have a party. So he's got to be the killer. And then they show him setting up his Ferris Bueller killer dummy and.
Yeah, and he had a pickaxe, so I thought, oh, he's got a pickaxe. Who else has that?
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out which general kind of mystery we were supposed to be solving. Was it that they were going to reveal that the killer of old had returned, and we were going to finally find out who that was, and it was just going to be new to us? Mm. Or was someone we were already seeing going to turn out to be the killer?
Well, there was such a reveal on, oh, he – Harry died in prison or in the loony bin or whatever. Like, there was such a amount of weight put on the fact that Harry died.
Right.
That,
I think they expected us to be.
Also, isn't this whole twist and I can't think of the movie Scream. It's the Scream twist, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It ends up being one of the people in the group.
Because Scream ends up being two people, and that's how you can see each of them. This one, it was just this one person. You slowly work out, you know, okay, so it can't be this boyfriend because we just saw him while someone else was gone. You just work it out slowly, and you end up figuring out who it is.
I have to admit, I didn't figure it out until he showed me. I'll admit it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did not know.
I still haven't figured it out. I'm still
still confused.
Yeah, because I mean, he chopped his arm off.
Yeah,
did he? Yeah, he cut his arm off there at the end, and then ran off and said, "Me and Harry will be back." And I'm like, "Is Harry still alive?
Harry's in he's part in his mind. He's in his soul. He's got Harry's body, or the guy's kid's body, but Harry's soul in his body.
Harry's soul.
Whoa,
Harry's soul. All right." Here's Howard. If you want Howard to get away from you, this is what you say.
Howard, stay away from me.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Howard.
Dude, Howard drove me up a wall. I couldn't stand him. Oh, my gosh. And I know that's you need that guy in your horror movie, the one that's just acting like a dick, your Stifler or whatever, just your dick. But I still hated him. Annoyed the hell out of me. All right, let the good times roll, he says in the shower.
Let the good times roll. All right.
Oh, no, it wasn't the shower.
That was at the party, yeah.
Yeah, and he hit that horn thing at the end, and I laughed. Again, I laughed out loud.
Let the good times roll. All right.
I love that guy. I love
that
guy.
Who carries around air horn? That's Howard,
I can't imagine this movie without that guy.
Like, yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
I wouldn't like this movie.
I hate him, but I also know he's required. It's on the template. What's going on over there, asks this clip.
Looks like a butcher ripped this thing out. What's going on over in Valentine Bluffs?
So we might think that's the director. We don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I put in the Discord, I put a picture of the guy and the director. I don't know. It's hard
could
to say.
Could be the same guy. Yeah.
Oh, I thought he had a mustache. See, I'm already forgetting who looked like what in this movie. I just watched it last night. Human brains are weird. Or mine is anyway. I don't want to speak for the rest of humanity. Okay, here's some bad acting and foreshadowing all at the same time.
Oh, but you gotta go. It'll be all right. Just stay with Hollis and me. Besides, you gotta see the dress I got. Cut down to here, slit up to there. I may not get out alive.
Yeah, you won't either.
Oh, foreshadowing.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. I stood up in the middle of the living room and said, foreshadowing!
Also, nobody acts like that. Like this first part of this.
Oh, but you gotta go. It'll be all right. Just stay with Hollis and
it's just so.
Oh, but you gotta go.
Yeah, you gotta go. What?
All right. I don't remember what this is, so I'll just play it.
It happened once. It happened twice. Cancel the dancer. It'll happen thrice.
Oh, that's the thrice thing.
That was the worst rhyme.
Well, yeah. I found an alternate version that got cut and it didn't get used. Let's find out why. It's almost the same, but here it is.
It happened once. It happened twice.
Then you can eat rice!
Oh, weird. Weird.
Wow.
Sounded familiar.
That makes just about the same amount of sense.
Has anyone ever used the word thrice on...
Never.
Unironically, like, ever?
Thrice.
I'm sure people use it all the time in England.
Hmm.
Can I get the thrice baked potato, please?
That sounds good. I'd eat that.
It does sound good. It sounds burnt.
Why is it so dry?
Yeah, no kidding.
Exactly. With thrice.
So you could in theory you could brand a kind of like rice combination, like you know, this has got brown, white, and long grain or
like
whatever.
Like a brand name. Try new Uncle Ben's Thrice.
Yeah, Uncle Ben's Thrice. Three fantastic rice flavors in one or whatever.
No. As soon as I said it out loud, I realized, nope, that would never happen.
It wouldn't get past committee. All right, fair enough.
That's right.
Here's Canada alert, everybody. Here you go.
I'm sorry. I'm so damn sorry.
You are sorry.
I love that.
They said sorry. I was like, eh.
That was the
if
moment.
If the moose head didn't give it away, that sure did.
Yeah, right. If you had any hesitation about where this was originating, that solved it. All right, when people or where people get killed.
Yeah, in the mine. Where people get killed.
People get killed in the mine. Oh, I got a prom date clip. Oh, okay.
Yay!
So, this is a weird one. This is Ibbot's prom date's dad. When, I guess this is specifically when you made fun of your date's dress. Okay, so you were
I was mean of me.
You're like, this dress is so stupid, or whatever you said. And this is what her dad's reply was. I think you're in this too, but here you go.
Beware of what you make fun of, you little asshole. Who? You!
Yeah, there's a little bit
of... Yeah, it was right after I went... And stuck my head up right next to the table where he was talking.
Here's that terrible man, that old man's laugh. Jeez. Really? That's just so bad, dude.
Yeah.
Really bad. Here's an all right, all right, all right before McConaughey came on the scene.
All right. Hey, all right. All right.
So
is that him seeing the hot dogs in the water?
No. That's him seeing the shower is on. And so he thinks his girlfriend
seeing his own hot dog in the water.
Right. Yep. Okay.
So wait a minute. So I have a question about this and about the sanity of that character. Cause this is our killer.
Yeah.
But is he like true split personality where he's going, all right, all right.
That's not our killer, because our killer was dating Sarah, the love triangle.
Do I have the wrong killer in my head?
This was a different guy. Yeah, this was a different guy.
Wait, the guy that came in crying.
Yeah, was not Axel.
Wait, who's Axel?
Axel's the love triangle guy. He's the killer.
No, I know, but I can't. Oh man, I've effed this up. This entire movie, I think, is the wrong. I got the wrong killer.
Yeah, there's another dude. So, Axel is
by the crying guy. Yeah,
and he's the tallest. That's another thing. He's the tallest person in the whole movie, and so like you should start to recognize that the killer minor towers over everybody else.
Is he blonde?
Yeah,
he was blonde. Yeah,
Okay. Not the main blonde one that he fought with.
Yeah, that's Axel.
He fought with a brunette.
No.
He fought with a.
I know that the main brunette guy that says sorry. I understand who he is.
Paul Kelman, TJ.
Okay, so he's the one that is, but he's the one in the love triangle.
He's the one who left and came back. Yes, he's the one in the love triangle with Axel and Sarah.
So he's the killer.
Sylvia. That's it. Sylvia.
So that blonde dude is the killer.
It's Sarah. Axel and TJ.
Blonde guy's the killer is what you're telling me. Right. Okay. So he
that was painful.
Him and the brunette guy go down into the mine to save the girls. That's actually the killer going down in the mine to chase them down.
Right.
Oh, wow. Okay. I had this all wrong. This is all left up in my head. Okay. That explains a lot, actually.
I was trying to find the name, though. The plot description on Wikipedia doesn't even mention the shower murder and the dude coming back from that. So,
all right, so it's not him. We're sure about that. Okay,
wait. No, definitely not the him. One that the one in the shower, that was hold on a second. That was because I wrote a whole thing for Marco Polo, and it was because they kept calling each other's names. It was John. And Sylvia.
John and Sylvia. Okay.
Yeah. That was the ones that were out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So John
is the one.
Not our killer. Yeah. Okay.
Sylvia.
Rob Stein, who doesn't even have a Wikipedia page.
Yeah. I don't know how I effed that up, but I did. All right. Here's a dumb guy saying what?
What?
All right. That's it.
What? What?
I love that.
What?
Here we go. Oh, here we go.
Hey, hold on, everybody. Here we go.
It's that thing from the beginning. That's Horace. And then Horace laughing is a real treat. All right, that's good. We got that. Here's a angry
Hollis. It's like Hollis. Horace. Wait, there's Horace. A whole other name that I can't don't recognize.
I have him written down everywhere as Horace. I don't know why. Wrap that up too. All right, angry acting can't take this dude seriously. I wrote. Here's this.
And shut up and listen to me, goddammit.
I can't take him serious. He's not a good leading male. He's bad.
No.
All right, and then slap time.
Stop it.
That's a good one.
Oh, wow. That's
stop it.
She really
a lot of reverb on that slap.
Yep. She got him good. Now this. It's the Film Sack Checklist. Grumpiest bartender of all time. Check. Mm-hmm. Beer snorter guy didn't die soon enough. Check.
Oh,
that would be Howard, right?
Yeah, Howard.
snorting beer through a straw. What the hell? Anyway.
Yeah.
Canada used to make rad horror movies. Check. Right. Maybe they still do. I don't know. I don't know what they make now. Maybe they do. Do they make new? Could I see a new horror movie that's like fully Canadian made? I don't know.
Probably.
Maybe. They'd be too sorry about it. Let's see. Oh, Star Trek connections. There's the blonde lady girlfriend survivor was in Voyager. And that's the only thing I could find.
Sarah. Yep. Her name is Lori Hallier.
Mm-hmm.
She actually had a nice career.
Did all right.
She played Sarah in this. That was her name, the character. Sarah. She did a lot of things. And if you watch this movie with a Canadian of a certain age, you're going to hear about all those old Canadian series and TV shows.
Yeah.
That she was in.
She's also the one. Anyway. She's also the one maybe working the most, even currently. She was in that Miss America as Betty Ford, that miniseries that was on FX or wherever it was. She's in Skin, which is out now.
Another solid Star Trek connection was an actress named Helene Udy, U-D-Y. Pronounced Udy. Helene Udy was Sylvia in this movie, and she played Pell in the DS9 episode Rules of Acquisition.
Oh, nice. Also, sorry, real quick, she was in Our Christmas Love Story, a Hallmark Channel original Christmas movie with Alicia Witt as the main star.
Yeah, so this was not one of those. I thought this was going to be one of those movies where everybody was like a local no-time actor.
Yeah.
And actually, no, these were people who were up and coming, most of them who, acting was going to end up being their career. Lots of them seemed to, catch on and get parts in things, in the States and also in Canada.
These people work, which I can respect that. All right. Soundtrack. Go ahead.
I just like because of the whole New Brunswick thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like New Brunswick is so far away from Hollywood, right? Mm-hmm. It's like when you find out that a movie was made in Maine with all Maine people.
Yeah.
And it's even farther, right? Mm-hmm. New Brunswick is northeast of Maine.
Yeah.
And it just there's something about it that just feels like how did they do this?
It's like
how did they get all these people to the end of the earth?
It's like finding out that somewhere in the mountains of Montana a small burgeoning film thing grew or whatever. It's like it's sort of like that. But good on them, I guess. Does New Brunswick even do anything now, or are they just sitting there going?
All the Maritimes are kind of like underpopulated and, they're on the receiving end of welfare, but I mean, it's a beautiful place. Lots of towns that are very nice in New Brunswick. There's a oldest city in North America. It's called St. John. Mm. Wonderful part of the world. I think they actually missed capturing some of the beauty. Like they made this movie seem so dirty because it was in a mine, which makes sense, but
but those coastline shots when when they're having their you still love me, don't you talk, that looked really pretty.
Yeah, that looked nice. I would hang out there. It looked cold, but
yeah. We did have a newspaper client out there. I never got to do the install, unfortunately.
Oh,
I wanted to go to St. John.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Brian. I'm sorry you didn't get to go out there.
Sorry. Now. I'm sorry.
Soundtrack grade. I'm going to give it an HNI for hardly noticed it. I really hardly noticed it.
Yeah, I don't even remember it all except for the ballad at the very end, which was amazing.
Yeah, that was great.
I'm glad you told me to stay and listen because that was great.
That was so good.
Who sang that? Because I meant look, but it was amazing.
It was it's funny because it's on the Wikipedia, I think. No, it's in the trivia of the IMDb. Mm. And I read it and I completely forgot what it said. But it was like it was unplanned or wasn't where is it here? There we go. Paul Zaza. It was added by composer Paul Zaza as an afterthought. The uncredited singer who does the vocal for the ballad was Scottish Canadian tenor John McDermott.
Sounded like John McDermott, and you don't even have to watch the film if you just listen to the ballad. Just fast forward.
Yeah, the ballad tells you the entire. It's like a bard's tale. It's fantastic. Yeah,
it is. It's great. And the other thing that Josh McDermott has done is on the soundtrack, is music. He performed O Canada as part of the score, a hockey musical in 2010.
Wow.
Whoa. That's a great.
Love cool it.
Thing. That is as Canadian as Canada can
yeah.
be.
Yeah,
that's great. I love that. All right. Time for the Twitter post. You guys get to sum this movie up in 280 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
My bloody Valentine. You got your coffee crisp in my bag of milk, you hoser. You got your Timbits in my poutine. You got your ketchup chips in my hockey. Hey, beauty.
Very nice. Did we do? Yeah, we did. We did Strange Brew, right? That's a movie we
did. Yes, we did.
Yep. Okay. Let's make
it was a beauty, eh? Yeah. Don't you remember?
Yeah, you're right.
Hoser.
Beauty, eh? Brian Dunaway.
My bloody Valentine. Like getting one of those nasty conversation candy hearts, but this one says, be mined, and now you're dead. That's jokes.
Oh, and you think those are nasty?
Nice.
Oh, yes. Conversation hearts are nasty. Well, we found out something today. Me and Randy don't agree on candy at all.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because like
I'll take the sweet sweet tarts version of candy hearts over those chalky red ink printed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those aren't
Tums.
Great.
They're basically heart shaped Tums.
Yeah.
Is what
they definitely weren't thinking what would be a tasty candy. No. Their gimmick is definitely hey, let's make a conversation.
Produce? Yeah.
Yeah. Right. This is my favorite Nirvana song is heart shaped
conversation.
Heart,
yeah.
Heart shaped candy. Uh-huh. Yeah. Heart shaped Tums. I'm sorry.
Conversation candy.
It's heart shaped Tums. Anyway, well done, Brian Ibbett. Your turn.
You'll love how this all comes back. My bloody Valentine. Oh no, my American heart accidentally got My Chemical Romance all over my morning jacket. You guys should all cover my heart-shaped box.
Oh wow.
Nice.
That's funny. We were just talking about that, which was your point about you're going to love how this all winds up.
Exactly.
Well done.
Thank you, Scott.
Price.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. I'm here to explain everything. Hey, alternate title time. This is a good one. Where is it? There it is. All right. It just handed to me. It was almost a kid show. They almost called it My Buddy Valentine. It was
a
very different
script. Goes, I go.
Yeah, it was going to be a very different script. And then it almost became This Candy Tastes Weird, but they thought that was too boring, so they didn't do it.
This candy tastes meaty.
There's a meat quality to my candy. Here's an email we got from Nick from Springfield, Massachusetts. This is an email sent to filmsack@gmail.com. He says, hello, SBBR.
Hi.
Just fulfilling Randy's request for an under 35's discussion about stereo stores. So we were talking about stereo stores last week.
Oh, yeah, right.
Says, I think your limit is about 10 years too early. I'm 31, and I remember vividly these stories. My first car, a 2005/06, had a removable stereo faceplate and the trunk-bound CD changer. Oh, man.
Oh, the trunk. Yeah. That was the best, right? Because you had the six-disc magazine that you could only take out and replace during the trunk. So if you went to... If you went to Sam Goody and got that brand new Tiffany CD and you wanted to hear it right away.
Yeah. You had to open your trunk.
Pull over.
Yep. Slot it in. Go in the car. Remember what slot it was.
Right. Yes. Right.
Exactly. He says, I also remember buying a tape deck hooked up to an aux cord and playing my fat iPod original through that. Ooh. Modern day version of this is 100% a vape shop. Smoke shops have been around for years and cater to smokers/vapers, but these modern day vape only stores are my generation's version of making the car stereo store. Thanks, Nick from Springfield, Mass.
That's a really good comparison. Yeah, yeah. Vape stores are not going to be around forever. That's not going to be a
no.
A
but for like, now, it's like a place where you go and you see these fancy vape pens and. You know,
yeah,
and basically nowadays stores are what happen for a few years before everything goes online.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Like, like sell your stuff on eBay stores. Remember that? Those were everywhere for. A
couple God,
years.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
that's still a and thing.
Also, I don't like calling auxiliary cables aux cables.
Yeah,
that
right.
is very generational. My son and my daughter both say aux cable. Drives me crazy. Because I don't even say aux, because they think an aux cable is like in a modern sense, it's a USB cable to your phone. And they're like, hey, hand me the aux cord. I'm like, no, I will hand you.
No, I will not.
Saving that much time by not saying auxiliary. Right.
Yeah. Say the whole word or don't say it at all.
So can I tell you a quick story?
Yeah.
Okay. So summer of 2008, I'm living in Round Rock, Texas, and my buddy Ken comes over, and we had a day off. So it was like, it must have been like Memorial Day. It may have been Memorial Day day. And my buddy Ken comes over, and we're sitting in my living room, and we decide we want to do something like a project. Like we want to, I don't know, lift my speakers from my TV up higher off the floor, something like that. And so he gets in my car, which was a 2004 Saab 900. And we go to Home Depot. So we buy some things. I don't know. I remember there being wood that we put in the car, and the Saab had a ski hole in the back seat, you know?
Yeah.
So we had put some of the things we bought through the ski hole. That's my best memory there. So we're leaving this Home Depot, and I was in with my buddy Ken. I was in the most spectacular car crash that you can be in and not go to the hospital.
Oh my God.
Okay.
We're making a now unprotected left turn. I thought it was a protected left turn, but it not at all protected left turn. And there's these kids, there's a 16-year-old and a couple of even younger kids driving a truck coming the opposite direction. And they're about to run the light, and they're going 80 or 90 miles an hour. And so as I make the turn, I realize, oh my gosh, I'm about to get murdered. And yeah. So I put my foot down on the gas. And fortunately, that Saab had just enough pep to get my buddy Ken out of the line of fire. And the truck hits my back passenger rear quarter. The car spun three times. That's how hard they hit me as I'm turning. My car spun and spun and spun. And so we were in a roller coaster ride. Fortunately, you know, we came out of it with only whiplash and like the kind of injuries that you just sort of like sit at home for a couple of days and you're going to be okay. Wow. But it was a spectacular accident. Like people who saw it came over, you know, obviously to see if we were alive, but then also to tell us. Like I kept having people, I'm sitting on the side of the road and my car is in pieces, and people keep coming over and saying, you would not believe the lid on your trunk went straight up 50 feet. It was just like people telling me all these stories. So we, you know, the tow truck comes, we give statement to police, we you know, people come to take us home, all we're fine. And the tow truck comes and you see your car leave. And so the next day or two, I go to visit the car in the insurance lot to see how bad it is, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm looking into this busted open back part of the car, and I'm like, where's my disc CD changer that's bolted, was bolted in? Like, like that thing was in the frame.
Yeah, because it's got to be, they can't have any movement. It's got to be firmly locked in.
Yeah.
And I actually thought I was going to go to my husk of a car and pull out the CD changer and the stereo that I had
Tiffany
added.
Tiffany CD.
And all that stuff. Yeah. My Tiffany CD. Thank you.
Yeah.
And it's not there. And I was like, I was starting a case against the inspector and the truck guy. And I'm just like, this is bullshit. I can't believe that. And they told me, you know what? You should go back to the scene of the accident. Yeah. And see if you can find the CD changer. Sometimes these things fly out. I'm like, no, whatever. No way. So we went back to the intersection, and it was an intersection under a highway. And my buddy Ken and I found that CD changer about 500 feet from where the accident happened. Dead. Yeah, it was on a grass.
Through the windshield of another car. Unrelated.
It must have been a terrifying projectile.
Yeah.
Like because the CD changer was a big device too. It wasn't like just this little thing. And we found it on the side of the highway, like on this berm, 500 feet. I still to this day, I don't know how that happened.
That's
it
crazy.
Feels like science fiction to me that happened.
Yeah. Wow. You don't still have it, do you?
Mm-mm. Yeah. Mm-mm. Be for real.
Still playing that same Tiffany CD.
We took a
I think we're alone now.
I took a crowbar and busted it open to get the CDs out.
Oh, wow. Wow. Really? That seems overkill, having to use a crowbar, doesn't it, a little bit?
It's a lot. I couldn't imagine actually making it power up.
Oh, I see.
Oh, that's true, right, because those things don't have, like, a manual eject. It's all...
Yeah.
It's all electronic, yeah.
Oh, manual eject was my favorite member of Menudo. Anyway, moving on.
I think the status quo...
Manuel eject.
Oh, Manuel eject, sorry.
I think the okay boomer part of that story is that I was still using a CD changer in 2008.
That's what that is, yeah.
that is the intense. Very end of that era.
Yeah, because think of, if you shift the years backwards, that would be like somebody still using 8-track when CDs were available. Mm-hmm. That's a weird thing to think about.
And they had an 8-track in this, didn't they? Or what did they have? They had like a
Like manually plugged or like just exposed wires plugged into some weird little amplifier.
They had a DC converter is what they had. Like AC DC converter.
Yeah. That's weird. Yeah. I used to love that though. Guts out stuff that still works. Yes.
Oh yeah.
I still think that's cool. All right. Well, there you have it. Thanks for the email there. Nick, did we answer it? Yeah, we did. We didn't answer anything.
Yeah, we did.
He just had a story for us. I was just making sure there wasn't a specific question, but no, most of it was a statement, and then we replied. There you go. If you want to send emails like him, you can, filmsack@gmail.com. Our next film, which is, we're off next week, by the way. No show next week. We got BlizzCon's keeping everybody busy, plus other stuff, so not here next week, but the week after that, Virtuosity.
Yeah. It's my favorite Jamiroquai song.
Yes. It's a 95 film with your Denzel Washington, Russell Crowe, Kelly Lynch.
And Kaylee Cuoco.
Is she in this?
Oh, really? Kaylee Cuoco, Sweeting.
Yeah.
Arquette is in this.
Ooh, William Forsythe, William Fichtner. Two of my favorite Williams.
I like William Fichtner.
Yeah, me too. Who else? Bunch of faces you just know from things. She must have been very young. How old is she then?
Yes.
She was born in
96 or something like that.
She was 95 is the movie. She was born in 85.
So because she was in that early 2000s TV series.
She was 10 years old, dude. 10 years old. Yeah. Think of that. Anyway, that's all coming up. That should be fun.
She must have been a minor.
Yeah.
Minor.
I see what you did. Anyway, that'll be next week. Week after next week, 2 weeks from now, we'll be doing Virtuosity, a movie that is sort of cybery and cool and probably terrible. And we're pretty excited about it. So come on back for that. In the meantime, filmsack.com is our website. You can also email us, filmsack@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. I'm sure titter.com exists. Should I look?
I'm sure.
TITTER.com. Let's just look.
Don't go there.
Oh, it forwards to Twitter. They own it.
Oh, good.
Oh, really?
Oh, good job, Twitter.
Hilarious.
I'm both disappointed and relieved.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Anyway, what else? That's all I had to say there. Oh, we're at FilmSack on Twitter, or Titter, it turns out. You can go there too, and we'll just take you there. Leave us reviews wherever you get your podcasts. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Harry Potter.
Well, I'll see you next time. Bye. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
What?
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 Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate lightweight, super packable travel shoes from Allbirds. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.